8:03 and a half, to be exact. I got the digital clock here this morning. Appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday morning. Kind of wet, and it's not really that cold, though, is it? It is 63 degrees at our studios at 920 Commerce in Pine Bluff, and it's about that across the Deltaplex Horizon. It's checking in at 67 this morning, 61 degrees in Sheridan and Stuttgart. We are pleased to have Jefferson County Sheriff Lafayette Woods Jr. in with us this morning. Sheriff, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. It's a pleasure being here. Obviously, in the house again, it is a pleasure, always.
Whoop, whoop.
So, did I see you were in D.C. for some kind of conference last week?
I was. We had our National Sheriff's Conference, the winter conference in D.C. The summer conference is going to be held in Florida, Lauderdale, Florida, but it was an excellent time.
Y'all did that the wrong way, by the way.
I know it.
They need to flip that for you.
Right.
I'm headed to D.C. for a radio broadcaster's deal on Sunday, so for next week. Where did you stay? Did you stay downtown?
Stayed not too far from the Capitol at the Canopy. Obviously.
Well, they are proud of the hotel rooms.
Oh, they are, and that's the reason why I didn't stay at the host hotel. I think the room rate for the host hotel was almost $300 a night, almost $350 a night.
The deal where I'm staying, the host hotel is like $500 a night.
Yeah.
And I'm staying like two blocks away at the Hamilton, which is still expensive.
Yeah, they're very proud of the hotels. And obviously, with the fiscal state of the county, I couldn't see myself paying that rate. So I was very strategic in where I stayed, and I just Ubered back and forth to the actual host hotel with the JW Marriott.
Yeah, that's where our host hotel is. It is so expensive.
It is.
So, with regards to the physical outlay or outlook of the county, so to speak, did anything new transpire while you were gone to the conference?
It did. And very, very, I'll be honest with you, I'm trying to laugh without a smile, without crying, but it's very frustrating to take up measures like that affect my office when I'm not present. And I think it was strategically done. But there was a measure.
Strategically done.
Strategically done.
Do tell what happened now.
Being out of town, first of all, the cover of darkness, just before my national conference, there was a state conference in Little Rock, which I was attending as well. And so there was a smooth transition between the state conference and national conference. So I was out of the office for a short period of time. During that time, obviously my integrity and character came into question and was challenged by the county judge, who sent out a letter to the Justice of Peace for East District, stating that our office and myself was deceptive in the budget process. Let's make it very clear, the budget process is very unorthodox. And so it was not transparent in spite of what's been told. It was not transparent at all. The budget process for the county involved each department, including myself and tax collector, the coroner, the individual circuit judges, and also the prosecutor meeting with the county judge himself. And the county clerk and the actual treasurer. The Justice of Peace were not involved in that process. They were spoon-fed whatever it is that the county judge told them, but it was not a transparent process in spite of what's been told in the past. And that is the problem, and that is the issue, is the reason why I'm having issues I'm having now. There was nothing deceptive from my office. We presented a budget, a realistic budget for 2020, that was in line with what we needed operationally and far as improving morale, personal services, and overall operations. That was done in the budget, line by line.
How much money was that? The total budget.
I'm not sure now. There's a lot of numbers. Understand that I represent multiple budgets. So we have a juvenile educational budget, a JJC for our juvenile justice center budget, adult jail budget, Tri-County Drug Task Force budget, the Sheriff's Office General Fund, public safety. There are a lot of numbers.
Okay.
So you would literally have to break those down. And so we deal with a lot of under my auspice, and it was just not done transparent. And that's what happens. And so I think the Corn Court did a disjustice not only to my office, but the system in this county, because it's a matter of public safety. If I don't have the necessary tools, specifically funding, to be able to support operations, and that's severely deficient, there's going to be an issue. You all saw it last year. Every month I was booked before the Corn Court, begging for money just to even make payroll.
Wow. So they didn't. The Quorum Court did not take that into consideration. They approved a budget for 2020 that was in line with what 2019 was, where you didn't have enough money. Is that what you're saying?
So the initial budget, 2020's budget that we presented, that I presented with my staff, that we sit down and line by line, day by day, over a 2 weeks time, looking at what we actually needed to be sufficient and actually run operations, but improve on some things. That was passed. It was passed by the Corn Court. When that letter went out to the Corn Corbins individually to the houses in the cover of darkness, just hours before this committee meeting, when I was out of town, it was told lies. Deceptive. It was told initially that the budget that they approved was not the budget that I was living off of. Basically, that I somehow changed the budget, and me and my staff changed the budget. They soon learned in the meeting that the budget they passed was the 2020's budget that we created, so, not the 2019's budget.
So they passed it. Now they went back in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How can they do that?
They did it. And so here's the irony of it. If you're telling me that the sheriff and his staff changed the budget, and that's not the budget you brought it on, why did it take legislation to go back to the 2019's budget, which was, again, severely deficient, severely?
2019's budget, your first year in office, was not sufficient to run the office.
Absolutely not.
You accounted that for 2020. Here's the question I have. Where is the budget that they just that they changed on you compared to, like, say, 2018, 17, 18,
oh,
before you took office?
It's night and day. It's night and day. I'll give you one clear example. That jail was built in 2012, okay? We've always had an adult jail administrator and an assistant. We also always had an adult jail administrator for our juvenile center and an assistant. When I took office, that was chopped down, the 2019's budget chopped down to one administrator for each facility. Tell me why that is.
And no assistant.
No, not at all. To the point when I appealed before the Corn Court and told them that the jail administrator was stressed because the jail administrator was not doing administrative duties. Jail administrator at the time was Tyra Tyler. Mm-hmm. Okay. She was assisting the kitchen, plating food. She was doing laundry. She was on the floor. She was running booking, to the point where when we were in a meeting, in the Corn Court meeting, I asked her to come. And I stood up in front of the Corn Court and told them that if that continued, if I didn't get the necessary funds to be able to hire an assistant and put that back in the budget, she was not going to be with us long.
Wow.
Less than 6 months. Less than 6 months. I'll probably say 4 months. She retired. And at that point, I was left with one administrator to take care of two facilities, which in the past we've had four people to do that job.
So you have an administrator. Before, you had two administrators at each place. Now
yes.
You had one of those left.
Mm-hmm. And then,
how many other people are working in that jail as far as, I know that I've heard some things, you know, you had a little bit of problem at some point with people escaping. There's some issues with the jail when it was built that you had nothing to do with you as far as the materials that were used.
Absolutely.
How many people are there watching over the people that are being detained to keep them inside?
So on average, in our 2020's budget proposed by my office, we looked at it and we said we need to do something to improve retention, but also maintain the individual employees and judges that we have, because it is a volatile, high-stress environment, 12-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. The salary when they built that jail was set at $23,000. That equates to almost $10.30 an hour, give or take.
That was in 2012?
Yes, and that's continued. Since that time, there were some, you know, conversation with the Corn Court to increase it to 26, but not without some compromise. So in order to get that 26, you either have to come in with experience or you had to be there at least a year. Well, we found out very quickly that didn't work because they never stayed a year to even see the 26. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get somebody who has experience with the Arkansas Department of Corrections or detention facilities to come in and work for that amount of pay.
No,
and
I would not work in a jail for
Just to compare that. In my new budget, 2020, when I proposed it, which they passed and voted on and now have retracted, the salary proposed went from 23 to 31. How I achieved that is not new money. It was me cutting down the number of slots, payroll slots for jailers, to accommodate the increases for the remaining, which was about five per shift. We have four shifts, okay? So we saw an immediate change January the 1st with the influx of applicants and also morale. Mm-hmm. Boosted from 23 to 31, okay? Now we're going backwards, going back to 23, and let me tell you what that does. Equates. In 2021, do you know what minimum wage is going up to?
$11.
$11. You know what minimum wage is now?
Almost 10 and a quarter.
Okay, and so you think about that. Equate that to 12-hour shifts for the detention facility, high-stress environment, very volatile, dealing with detainees day in and day out. Getting cursed out.
Oh.
threatened, attacked physically, going to the hospital. We have detained, we have had jailers have lost their lives. When I was in the National Memorial in Washington, D.C., one of the sites I visited was the National Law Enforcement Officer Memorial. And tell you, one of the sites I looked at and I etched his name was Leonard Wall. Mm-hmm. You all remember that name because we just did a memorial a couple weeks ago mm-hmm. at our Juvenile Justice Center. Again, remembering his life, his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. He's on that wall. I don't want to lose another officer to that wall because we can't get qualified people and raise this pay to make sure that we retain what we have, but also become more attractable for others to, for recruitment. And we showed that in the change in 2020's budget, and now we're going backwards.
So talk to me. It was approved.
It was approved.
Then
they say, well,
we didn't
know we approved it. How do you vote on a measure that you know you didn't approve? Well, tell me how that happened.
Isn't everything recorded?
It's recorded. It was filed in the county clerk's office. It was approved. Now we're going back. And so the notion that somehow the sheriff changed the budget was totally false. It was disrespectful. It was unprofessional. And to have me say that and then you turn around and create legislation, if it was not approved, there would not be a need to have legislation disapproving it, would it?
No. With every action, there's a reaction. So what's going to be your recourse from this point moving forward?
You know what? Let's get to that after this. We'll be right back in 2 minutes with Jefferson County Sheriff Lafayette Woods, Jr. So let's get this straight, Dan. It's going to finally clear up for a few hours, and another storm system is going to be coming through. Man, has it been raining? Well,
No.
64 degrees in McGee and 67 in Ryzen. This morning we have 64 degrees in Dumas and at our studios at 920 Commerce in Pine Bluff. 63 degrees on this wet Tuesday morning. We're joined in studio this morning by Jefferson County Sheriff Lafayette Woods, Jr., who've been talking about the budgeting process for the sheriff's office, and not enough money was there last year. They approved, the quorum court of the county approved the 2020 budget, and then recently came back and, I guess, disapproved it last week while Sheriff Woods was at a sheriff's conference in Washington, D.C. Hey, and y'all help me with this. I've heard the figure for the city mm-hmm. has been getting an extra $100,000 a month since the annex mm-hmm. opened at the casino money, mm-hmm. basically. Now, is the county getting part of that?
Yes, a certain percentage goes to the city. A certain percentage goes to the racing commission. A certain percentage goes to the county. Yes.
So theoretically, there should be more money for the county to be able to budget to all the departments, including the sheriff's department.
There has been some disbursements electronically done from the tax revenue from the casino to the county. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on this, but I think it's in the range of $70,000, give or take.
Per month or total?
When I check total, since we've been collecting, mm-hmm. and that money has gone into the reserve fund for the county.
So the city's going to get more money than the county.
Absolutely, absolutely. The percentage is greater with the actual city than it is for the county.
So, but whatever the county has gotten up to this point, and the city as well, it will increase, assuming about in July, late June, July, mm-hmm. when the big casino gets done. I'm assuming everybody assumes there'll be more.
More gaming, more money on the table. Yeah,
more
gaming, more revenue.
So do we have any – I mean, will that help relieve the situation, or do you think this is more of a personal issue with the county judge and the sheriff's department?
You know, I think it's personal. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's no secret that those who have paid attention, have seen the transition, and it really is mind-boggling for me to be in this position because if you follow my career, you've watched me grow, you would know I've been totally supportive of the county judge, even doing his administration, doing great things, trying to improve bone public safety in all sectors. And I did that for many years. And it just seems as though when that transition between, my position then, major operations to sheriff and his from sheriff to county judge, there were some issues. And not on my part. Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was an issue, mm-hmm. Obviously, until I started getting phone calls suggesting that somehow there was an issue. And so I reached out to the county judge to find out what those issues was. And what I learned was that, just shortly after my swearing in, that obviously he felt hurt, I guess, somehow, that I didn't give more credit to him doing my swearing in speech as to, you know, him being the reason for my success. You know, let me say this. God has his hand and has his hands on me and always has his hands on me. I don't discredit the job that Sheriff Robinson did during that time. He did a great job. He provided me an opportunity to grow, but it was an opportunity to grow. I had to take that opportunity and maximize it with the support of not only family, God, friends, community, who actually supported me during the election because they believed in me. That has not changed. My commitment has never wavered, has never been more stronger. But I'm not going to sit by and let somebody dictate and try to continue to run my office in another office. It's just not going to happen. I'm not a pushover, and I'm competent enough to run my office. I've been here long enough to understand county government, understand what we need as an agency. And if you question that, you talk to some of my staff, and you talk about morale then and morale now. Talk about some of the changes we've already made, policies, procedures, operational things. And they'll tell you. They'll tell you the facts. Speak to them privately or openly. They'll tell you. And so I'm just not going to go through administration with having to be plagued with going back and forth. I want to be the sheriff and do my job, the job that people elected me to do. That's all. If I need advice, I know how to call and pick the phone up to call for advice. I don't need somebody dipping into my business when that transition has already taken place. The voters have decided. They certainly overwhelmingly over two Democratic challengers made it very clear who they wanted to see in that position. And I think
you went pretty candidly.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And I just want to be able to do my job. I want to do my job with the support of the Corn Court and the county judge. And that means sufficient funding so I can operate and improve public safety. I can't do that without the proper funding and support from the Corn Court and the county judge.
Well, we certainly don't need any personal issues when it comes to public safety here in Jefferson County.
We don't. I mean, we've seen these personal fights get out of hand. Mm-hmm. You've seen it on some of the highly contested races that you've seen in the past and also that you're going to be seeing here during the March election.
Yeah.
And so there's no need for that. Even with the campaign, I was plagued with, you know, rumors and speculation and personal attacks. My commitment to the campaign never wavered. It never wavered. And you have to stay focused on it. Your opponents, people want to see you off your game. Mm-hmm. They want to see you not at your best. Mm-hmm. And if you're focused on your campaign and you're focused on the job at hand, you don't have time to focus on rumors and speculation. My dad has always told me that when you start focusing on trying to chase rumors and lies, then that's when you're not going to be effective. Mm-hmm. And so I've always let that stick with me, and it's always stuck with me.
Sheriff Lafayette Woods Jr., Sheriff of Jefferson County, thanks for joining this morning, Sheriff. Is there anything else? We have a lot more we could cover. You want to stick around?
I would do want to say this to all the citizens listening, those listeners. If you're not involved in county government, you don't know what it looks like, you don't know the operation of county government, whether it relates to the Corn Court, individual departments in county government, get involved. Come to a Corn Court meeting. The committee meeting, I believe, is the first Tuesday, and the following Monday of each month is actual full court meeting. Come see what the issues are. Call your JPs, your Justice of the Peace. Find out who they are in your respective districts. Get involved. It's a matter of public safety.
Let me talk to you about that. You said the JPs. I mean, mm-hmm. What was the vote when they did this budget process while you were out of town? Was it a close vote? It was
unanimous. And I guess he was very convincing. And it's not hard to do when you've got the elected official who is going to be affected not there.
So this new letter that was generated and sent to all the JPs.
I still have not seen it. I've only been told generally what it says. Yeah.
Why wasn't it sent to you?
Obviously, it was a negative letter about me. Sent by the county judge. So, no, I haven't seen the letter.
Is that letter can that letter be FOI'd?
I'm sure it could be. If it was something that caused them to vote on a measure, which they did, and it was generated based on the conversation from that letter, then I would think it would be. But, no, I was not presented a copy of that letter.
So this was a special called meeting?
No, this was a regular meeting, but the letter went out, you know, several hours. When I say several hours, it was past 7 o'clock p.m. when these letters went out. Some of them were done via email. But, yeah, I mean, it was very challenging and disheartening to even hear about that. It's like, you couldn't work that out by calling me? You sent a letter out, you know, challenging and questioning my integrity in my office? And I'm the guy that you supported. I'm the guy you endorsed. But all of a sudden now I'm the villain. How does that work? Like it's personal.
Like grandma used to say, something in the milk ain't good.
It's personal. It's personal. It's nothing personal. And, you know, obviously people have read the newspaper. It was very public. My dad sued the corn court and county judge. That didn't make it any better. That just added fuel to the fire.
Yeah, that probably.
And I had nothing to do with that. Didn't go to court. Was not subpoenaed. Had no involvement in it. My dad is an elected official. He's the circuit clerk of Jefferson County. Was elected by the people of Jefferson County. Had nothing to do with me. And his suit was a willful suit. And unfortunately, because the corn court again voted on something that they didn't know what they were voting on, he lost that suit as a result of them voting on it. And so, I mean, it's challenging, man. It's challenging. It's very challenging.
Sheriff, appreciate you being with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.